are emotional problems with the whole world. They look at it for what it's worth. They appreciate it for what it's worth. They respect Master Farad Muhammad. They respect the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They respect the great men and women who helped build that world of the past. And they thank God that Master Farad Muhammad put some timers, you know, in his teachings that worked to bring about the possibility or chance for this kind of transformation. So we feel thankful. We're happy. And right now, I wish I had a tank-sized picture as big as this auditorium, big as this hall, big as this place here, of Master Farad Muhammad. I wish we had it here, sitting here right now. A picture so big, it would go all the way up to the ceiling of this high hall in here. To celebrate the coming of a man who didn't come as a real prophet of God, who didn't come as a real Messiah or Savior, but he did come as a compassionate destroyer. He destroyed, but he had compassion, enough compassion to signal us in the right direction toward El Islam, the Quran, Prophet Muhammad. Praise due to Allah. So that's a chapter closed, but with me it'll never be a chapter forgotten. There's too much from his social reform message that I still cherish. He said, go clean, take a bath every day. That was good Islamic instruction. He taught us not to wear our fingernails long, to keep them trim. You get a lot of dirt and germs up under those fingernails. And when you go to decent people for employment, they look at them and say, I can't hire you. How come that man wouldn't hire me? All this experience I have, your nails were dirty. Man, no, you let your nails go like that. He come to the job one day and pull the dress, the desk drawer open and might find a 7-inch rat in there eating on your sandwich you forgot about. Yeah, you know, people that neglect one thing, most likely they all neglect something else. You see? Though Master Farad, he gave us good points to put ourselves in a position to really make our life worthwhile. I want you to save your money. Don't waste your money. Just spend it crazy on anything in any kind of way. Don't you to watch your money. Don't you to open your mind and prepare yourself not just to be a preacher or a musician. He said become doctors, become scientists, become engineers. Learn mathematics, chemical engineering, mechanical engineering. Learn all the sciences. This was Master Farad taught. So in that sense, he was a Booker T. Washington. He was a Marcus Garvey. Is that right? So I don't want to throw away everything he taught. And another thing he taught that don't make so much over physical appearance. Don't try to look holy. Try to be right. He didn't teach us to wear long beards and long robes and act like we're holy. He dressed the sisters up in robes, but he made the men look like bankers. To keep your mind in the business world. So that man did a lot to save us, to put us on the right track, to help us get rid of that old slave outlook and come into a real sense of worth and self-esteem. So what can we say to that man? But congratulations. physician. And thank you, you were a physician. Not in a spiritual sense, as Moses and Jesus, but definitely in a social sense. And in many ways, in a spiritual sense. Because until you get your physical self in order, you can't get your spiritual self in order. Now, I can prove this by El-Islam. What do you do first? Make ablution. And the Holy Quran gave the instructions, came from God to Prophet Muhammad, telling him this, and your clothes, make them clean. And the place where you pray, make it clean. And yourself, purify yourself, make yourself clean. Not only internally, internally and externally. There's a saying, says Prophet Muhammad, to ask the question, says if any man wash himself five times a day, make his wudu five times a day, will there be left on him any filth? The follower said no. He was saying that he had given them the prescription for good hygiene. You wash your hands up to the elbow, you wash your face in the mouth, the nose, the ears, right? And last the feet for good hygiene. Then the Holy Quran also tells you that under certain conditions, you must make ghusl. Ghusl means complete bath. Is that right? So how did he start? Cleaning the people up physically. You don't pray before you clean yourself physically. Come clean in a state of physical cleanliness. Is that right? Not with dirty clothes on. Don't take a bath and put on some funky clothes. Holy Quran saying your clothes make clean. Make them clean. You see? And don't stand up with clean body and clean clothes praying in some funky room. And your place, make it clean. You see? So, the Master Farad came with the teachings of the Holy Quran. So am I going to be a fool now? I'm against Master Farad. He said, bathe once a day. That's my religion. That's right. Those things that he taught us that stand up in our religion, we should be proud of those things and hold fast to them. Don't let them go. And give him the credit for bringing us to that. Although we know ultimately Allah gets all the credit, all praises due to Allah. It wouldn't have been possible if Allah hadn't revealed it. Master Farad wouldn't have been able to even take from it and use it if Allah had not revealed it. But Master Farad was the man who brought it to this community, to this part of the world. So the good that he brought to us, let us respect it and cherish it. And understand that it's in your religion. It's in the Holy Quran. No false, no lie. He had a lesson that was, says, my word is bond, and bond is life. My bond is my life. I will give my life before my word shall fail. That was the words of Master Farah that he taught us to learn and recite over and over again. Now, you know, orders, secret orders as his, need that kind of truthfulness or that kind of commitment from his members. But he taught us a good thing, and he taught us an Islamic thing. The Holy Quran has almost a whole chapter dealing on the liar, those who lie. You see? Who give false reports, who lie. So this is Al-Islam. Don't throw any of it away. The bean soup, is it wrong? Is it harmful? A lot of Christians, they love bean soup that we cook. So you don't like bean soup no more just because you've come into a new world of transformation? We haven't changed your taste buds. Your tongue is the same, the taste buds are the same. The bean soup still tastes good, and your stomach will still digest it. It's nice. If it gives you gas, then it was wrong for you from the start. Forget about it. But if it doesn't give you gas, don't give you no gas problem, eat the bean soup. I love it. I eat it. I stop eating it every meal. I don't have to have it that often. I don't want all that bean soup. We had people believing that bean soup had some power of its own. I came to the National House one day, which was called the, what was it called? The House. We used to call it the Big House and the House, you know. Some of them used to call it the Palace. That was late name given, the Palace. I came there one day and saw a sister, a young sister too, and her little young baby couldn't hardly walk. Had a big old, one of them big old long bottles, nursing bottles, full of bean soup. Yeah, I'm telling you the actual truth. You know, I exaggerate sometimes. You know that, don't you? This time, no exaggeration. All right? And most of the time when I exaggerate, I tell you I'm exaggerating, or I laugh to let you know it's not to be taken so seriously. I came in and saw that little girl sucking on that big ball of bean soup. And I said, oh, my God. It's hard enough to get the gas out of the baby when the baby drinks cow milk. You have to be burping. And what in the world are they going to do with that bean soup? Little girl's belly was all blowed out there. Probably had enough gas in there to light a light bulb. Or weld a torch or something. She was silly enough to think that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad actually meant that our babies can live off of bean soup. He'd be teaching us, and we couldn't, some of us couldn't understand the difference between his jokes and his serious words. He said, oh, you could feed them nothing but bean soup and they'd live. He didn't say how long they'd live, he said they'd live. So you can, on milk and bread, you can live for, see, 90, 200 years, yeah, 200. Just on milk and bread. Had a brother who took him seriously. No, it ain't funny. Now, this ain't funny. This actually happened. Right here in Chicago, this brother took him seriously. Wouldn't take nothing but milk. Because the Army Life Hospital even live on milk. Long life. The brothers came to me and said, brother, we have to talk to him. I tried to talk to him. But he was too far gone. It ain't funny, brother. It's funny if you stop thinking seriously, you would laugh yourself to death. But you know, when you think about this, is a human being's life. And I mean a sincere brother's life. This man believed. And there he was drinking milk. What was that brother's name? Anybody remember that brother? Okay, a lot of them remember. I can't hear what you're saying, but a lot of them remember his name. Theophilus. That's right. You see the name he had? Theophilus. Look, no. Again, I'm serious. Don't give your children names like that unless you know the meaning. And then if it's a good meaning, tell your child, this name means such and such. Because a name like Theophilus, and then he read that Thea means Thea, Thea means God. Theophilus, God of the Republic, God of the people. Yeah, Theophilus. Isn't that what it means, I think? It means Theophilus, God of the people, the public, or something like that. What does Theophilus mean? City. Theophilus, God of the city, you see? All right. Or the public community. Yeah, they say city, but the Theophilus, you know, means the public, that public, you know, Theophilus. Okay, so he probably looked it up. Because, you know, we look up everything in the first resurrection. So he probably looked it up and saw it means God of the city. So that blew his mind. Then Harvey Elijah Muhammad said, and live off milk and bread forever. Milk, just milk, he said. Forever, say, babies live off of it. That's right. Until they get some teeth, then they want you on something. See how nice it makes the baby? See how clear the baby's eyes? How nice the baby's skin? Yeah, that's right. That baby can't carry no bricks. Can't push no wheelbarrow cement. So that poor brother, he was drinking nothing but milk. And they say one time he went up the steps, they had to catch him. They had to catch the poor brother. And I don't know, but I think that poor brother just wasted away. I think the poor brother just wasted himself away. It's a shame. Really pitiful. So let us not take these things and run away with them. And let's thank Allah that Allah blessed the son of Ahmed Aj Muhammad with understanding so that we can see the good and the wisdom in it and not be led astray by the symbolic language. Look, I don't know how thankful you are, but with the heart and mind that I have, if I was in your position, and saw this transformation, I'm telling you, I would be so thankful. I don't think I would forget in my prayers, not one time, to thank Allah for the transformation. That's right. Our brothers and sisters, we are seeing changes that are taking place so fast, and the changes are so profound, they're so deep and so broad and so meaningful that I think most of us are not seeing what actually is happening. When you hear these politicians, these city government leaders, say that the world community of Islam in the West is giving leadership to all of us, is helping all of us. And when you hear them expressing thanks that the Imam Mullah Muhammad is in their city, or coming to their city, what they're saying lightly. These people know what is happening. They see what is happening. They see that the great obstacles that were in the path of democracy and Americanism are now made no obstacles, not by the language of their democracy, but by the language of the New World community in the West. That's what this America sees. The leaders of this country, the great wise preachers of this country, the Pope in Rome, he has seen it. They see that the problems that they were faced with and didn't know how they were going to get around them, that God has blessed the world community of Islam through W.D. Muhammad to come into the understanding how to tackle these problems and make them no problems. Country would have stayed in confusion. This country would have stayed divided if Allah hadn't blessed me with the understanding how to overcome the division within our community and the division within the state, within the nation. Allah blessed me with this understanding. Not in any spooky revelation, through the wisdom of the Quran and the scriptures, and with his guidance, with his favor, with his personal favor in my life, making me right-minded, right-thinking, pure-hearted. I was clear vision enough to see the way through the scriptures and through the knowledge that I had come in contact with, and then show that way to you and to the world. Racism would have been here forever. Color problem would have been here forever. If Allah hadn't blessed me with the knowledge to deal with it in the right way and make it no problem. Now the Southerner in Georgia, in Texas, or in Carolina, wherever he is, who never saw any hope for him to give up his racism, when he hears the whole message of W.D. Muhammad, he feels in his heart that he can join W.D. Muhammad and give up his racism. How do you know that? I've heard. And I've gone down there in Carolina, and I've taught the rednecks, and I've seen them how they respond. They respond as though they're saying, all praise is due to Allah, that W.D. Muhammad is on the scene. Problem with anybody, but the insane and the ravenous mad people. Ordinary people, I don't have no problem with any color. I went to communist China, and I was received as a king. I was received as though I had a nation somewhere, a government. Well, I do, a righteous one. Might not look too big now, but it's growing fast. I came in with a group. They said, no, you don't sit there with them. You sit up here with the head man. That's right. I talked to my guide, a personal man assigned to me from the government, and I mean he was no low officer. He was one of the high officers in the Chinese government. I talked to him for the whole time I was with him. You know what he said to me the day I left him? He said, you've given me a whole new concept of life and the world. That's what he told me. All praise is due to Allah. I'm not bragging on myself. You little narrow-minded, pea-brained, peacock-headed people. Look, don't think I'm trying to praise myself. I'm satisfied to sit in my house and have no visitors but my relatives and a few friends, a half a dozen, and never see you or anybody. As long as I have truth, I will be happy. I don't need you looking at me and saying, all praise is to Allah. I'm not a man like that. And that's why God has given me this position, because I'm not a man like that. For anybody to raise me up, to make me a great leader. Allah made me a great leader when he made my nature, when he increased my knowledge and grew my nature into the form that is in right now. He made me a great man. Not for me to be proud, for you to be proud. It's a sin for me to be proud of myself. But it's a sin for you not to be proud of a man that came up from among you and championed your cause and get respect from the world doing it. And Allah never bless a people who don't value and love their leaders who make sacrifices for them and ask nothing of them for themselves. I don't ask anything from any of you for myself. Bring me a brother or sister that can say I ever asked them for anything for myself. Say, where you get the money you got? Not from you. Not a penny from you. Not that I wouldn't take it from you if I wasn't getting it elsewhere, but you see how wonderful Allah is? He know what kind of minds you got. So he fixed it so I don't have to take a penny from you. So in case you say you want this position so you can stay rich like your father did. No, I got the riches without you. And I've been told, don't want for nothing. Come to us if you need anything. Who is that us? Good Americans and good Muslims here and abroad have told me, and I'm not talking about American Muslims, American non-Muslims have told me, say, look, a man like you, I hate to see him want for anything. Say, if you want anything, come to me. When you believe in Allah, you don't have to depend upon the people to feed you. Allah feeds everybody, whether you know it or not. You think you're feeding yourself, but Allah is the one who feeds everybody. In fact, his attribute is Al-Muqeed, which means the feeder. Al-Muqeed, the feeder. That's to let us know you're not the feeder. And you think you luck up on something. You get lucky. Allah got another attribute to let you know you don't get lucky. Allah provides everything. He is Al-Wajid. He is the one whom lets you find it. You don't find nothing. You don't discover things. He is the one who allows it. He uncovers and reveals. He creates, and then he reveals what he creates. He put it here, and then he placed it so you can get it. You think you found it. No, you didn't find it. Have you ever been looking for something, and you didn't know where it was? And just when you wasn't thinking there it was, Allah's telling you, I'm the finder, you fool. You can't find nothing. All praise is due to Allah. Dear beloved people, Muslim brothers and sisters, this is a great day for us. And I hope every year we will celebrate, come together in the spirit of genuine patriotism, not having any old hang-up, emotional hang-up with the American flag, with the American government. Let me tell you something. You might not like it. You might not like to hear it from me. You might say it sounds Uncle Tommy-ish. America is the greatest land on the face of the earth. Now let me tell you, I'm going to show you, not going to see it. Some people speak and don't prove it. I'm going to show you. How do we measure greatness? We measure greatness by the amount of growth that was made from one point to another. Isn't that how you measure greatness? Well, I can go in many parts of the world and find people who are greater morally than America, than Americans. But when I look at the point from which they have grown, I must say America is greater. All right? Okay. Now, I can't say America is greater than the holy city Mecca. That wouldn't be a fair comparison. That's a sacred land, a holy land. I'm talking about the nation. I've been to Egypt. I've been to other places. It's only there in that holy, sacred Sikh precinct there that you find greatness, so much so that you have to say, this is the greatest land. You see? But that greatness there is in terms of obedience to God. They enforce obedience to God there. You see? But I'm not talking about that kind of greatness only. I'm talking about human greatness. In America, I find people who just 100 years ago couldn't stomach the sight of each other. Now sitting down in the same company, same cooperation, working together as equals. I see Bilalian, black, standing over Caucasian, telling him what to do. What not to do. Telling him if you don't do it, I'll fire you. In the north did in the South. In just a few decades ago, if he had looked at that Caucasian like he wanted to say something to him wrong, he probably would have been beat to death or lynched. I see a country, a world, America, that used to believe in their hearts, many of them, that they were right before God to mistreat the alien people and to keep them segregated and inferior. They actually believed in their hearts that they were right to do so. They thought that we were the cursed sons of Ham, and that God had cursed us black and had made us to be the servants of Caucasian people. This is what they were taught in many American and Western churches. Am I giving you history? Am I giving you the facts or not? All right. If I'm giving you facts, then swallow. Don't be spitting it out. Keep your mouth closed, black man. You swallow this truth. It's good for you. The book says that there'll come a time when people will be going around and with the word of God, and some people won't be able to handle it. But the book also says that there'll be a message from God that when you take it in your mouth, be bitter. Bitter as God. Won't be able to handle it. But it says in your stomach is sweet, honey. And there'll be another one to say that when you take it in your mouth, it'll be sweet. So nice. But once it reaches your stomach, terrible. All right. So what I'm giving you, sometimes when you take it in your mouth, you can't handle it. You want to spit it out. It's so hard for you to hold in your mouth. Know that it's bitter medicine, but good for the stomach. Let it go on down. Force yourself to swallow it. Help. Make it go down, because it's what you need in your stomach to correct that bad condition that your mind and your heart and your nature's in. All right. So now, if in this short period of time, this great change has been made in America, without a civil war. The civil war took off the physical change, but let me tell you something. The worst form of slavery wasn't that form that the civil war and President Lincoln got rid of. It was the form that we were left in. Free, but still left as game for any hunter. In and out of season. I'm not talking about the Deep South. I'm talking about the North, Chicago. In my lifetime, I've seen some horrible, horrible lynchings or killings of our people. In Chicago, person beat out of recognition. For what? For just walking the street of a neighborhood that was restricted for Caucasians only. The man I'm talking about now, he was only working over there. He wasn't over there for nothing, but just working. But he got off work a little too late, and they thought he was over there in the neighborhood looking for some girl, or maybe expecting to live over there. And they lynched him. Didn't hang him on a tree, but lynched him, you know, just killed him cruelly. All right. You might say, well, that could happen right now. Maybe it can, but it can't happen like it happened back then. It might happen, but I guarantee you there'll be a whole lot of forces, all colors, trying to catch that person. And most likely they'll be caught. I guarantee you, if they're not caught, I will organize a physical army myself and look them down, hunt them down. That's right. Yeah. And it's possible nowadays, because the majority of the people will be on your side. a great thing. We've never seen a people who believe religiously in white supremacy and in keeping Belarian people or black people down. Believe it religiously. And look what happened to our community. We came into a belief that was just the reverse. Just the other side of the coin. We believed, too, that we were black and supreme. The only legitimate human being on the earth. That the Caucasians didn't have no right here on this planet. Created to do nothing but torment and germ up the world. All of a sudden now, the same people, look here, I guarantee I know them personally. I see some of the same people that I grew up under who believe with their whole heart and whole mind exactly as they were taught. They believe that the Caucasian people were the devils and were going to be destroyed, and that black people were God people, the only rightful, legitimate people on this earth, legitimate owners of this earth, inheritors. And I see those same people make the transformation so smooth, didn't even hear the gear slip. And now they're just as strong in this belief of the new world as they were in that of old, even stronger now than they ever have been. This has happened in America. A descendant from the slaves, without education from their institutions, built the Nation of Islam and kept it for 40-some years. And a son of that same man who got most of his education from that man and from that man's school here in Chicago have come up and succeeded him in one respect from the whole world. And is in the position to give direction to the whole world. The imams and Ashkenaz, they're not sending letters to me saying, Imam, why don't you come here so we can give you the course and such, so you'll be qualified. They don't send me no message like that. If anything, they want me to come there and lecture at LSI. I don't get any letters from Pakistan or from Egypt or from Saudi Arabia saying, Imam, why don't you come and have us help you with your religion so that you will do a good job. They know I haven't been to any of their colleges. They know I haven't been to their schools. They know I've only been here in America. But they hear what I say, and they recognize the high wisdom. And they say, we don't know where he's got. You know what they asked me once? They say, what school did you go to? Now, when they say school, they mean Hambly, Hennessy, or some school like that. So I said, I got my teachers in Chicago under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, and some teachers that came to the community, Professor Jamil Diaz, Professor Farrar, Professor Muhammad Abdullah. They said, who are these people? They don't know them. None of them got names in the learned world. None of these people are established in the learned world of Islam. So they wonder. I said, I got it by studying the Quran and the Bible and studying the teachings of Master Farrar and studying the Oriental mythology and Western mythology. Western religion, pardon me. So they look and they wonder. And they recognize that Almighty God is in this. They recognize that it is Allah that has created the situation, the conditions and the situation, the circumstances and everything in the environment, and have enriched me with the information from this complex, varied, and multiple kind of environment that I grew up in. They understand that. All right, so brothers and sisters, be happy and be proud that today you don't have to go to Timbuktu. You are Timbuktu. And if anything, people gonna come to you. That's right. Understand that all of this has happened in the United States of America, and the days of lynching are just less than, 50 years behind us. I mean that 100 years of just lynching, Jim Crow period. It's a short distance behind us. And all of a sudden now, everybody's free. Even the sisters are free. Yeah. The lesbians and the sisters, everybody's free. They arguing for equal employment, equal opportunity and employment. Arguing for the right to come on the job and teach in school and identify themselves as sissies. And if you can't see the divine hand on this young nation, and this is a young nation, only 200 years old. In fact, 201 year old tomorrow, right? I believe I'm right. 201 years old tomorrow. A young nation. And all of a sudden now, everything has come out and over. This is the beauty. This is what makes America so great now. That America has survived the day that it exists as the pit of hell on this earth. I'm telling you, America was the bottomless pit of the planet Earth. There wasn't a nation on the face of the Earth that was doing more evil to people with no cause other than America. America. But all of a sudden now, everything has come out in the open. Ruth, look how we saw it on TV. And look how divine this is. A Caucasian didn't write Roots. Spaniard didn't write it. Belalian Brother of America wrote Roots. On TV, everywhere, telling you what took place. Letting you know that some of your ancestors were Muslim. Is that right? Kunta Kinte. Very name, Kunti Kinte. So brothers and sisters, you may not have the courage, but I want you to get the courage to put back the old days. Put them back in dead files. They're gone. This is a new day. And recognize the world for what it is today. Accept it for what it is today. And appreciate it for the long, hard road that it has come over. And maintain its human form, its human mind. Don't you know that's a blessing? That a diabolical-minded nation that licensed slavery and enforced slavery, the worst kind of slavery that ever existed in the history of humanity. Do you know that? I'm not telling you what our books say, Muslim books say. I'm telling you what American books say, what the Encyclopedia Britannica say, what Western books say, that never or in the history of slavery was there ever a slavery more cruel than the slavery of the plantation, the slavery that we came through. But look, we're through it. And the people that did it now frown upon it. And they'll come out with us against it to kill it if anybody tried to bring it into existence again. I was driving through the city of Chicago on the north side, and I saw a Caucasian man mistreating a Bilalian man. And the police came and tried to break the argument, and this Caucasian man wouldn't obey the police. I saw him beat that Caucasian man's head until it bled all in his face, and he threw him in the paddy wagon. This is what a Caucasian did to his Caucasian brother in Chicago, who was wrong in an argument with one of my Bilalian brothers. This show